Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, man. We definitely into March. March Madness.
March Madness.
You couldn't tell by the weather, but that's another story.
Yes, sir.
But unfortunately, as of the recording of our show, Big Reds took a tumble.
Yeah, they took a tumble.
Yep. So, I mean, that's what it's all about. One and done, second season.
Yep. Can't take no breaks on no plays.
Can't have no bad games, man.
Yep. And sometimes shots don't fall, stuff like that. And you, as a coach, you always prepare. You over-prepare. You do it your best as a job. So, it's all come down to the kids playing. That's all it is.
That's it, man. What they do on the floor is kind of up to them to see what happens. So, but as you look back, he still had a great season.
Yes,
you know,
he did.
Maintain his conference championship title.
Redeem some losses he had.
Yeah. So, you know, and then Kent Wood was the same boat because we beat them earlier in the year. So they was able to redeem a loss that they had on their schedule.
That's right.
But overall, you know, nothing to be ashamed about, hang your head about. You always want to go deep into the tournament, but didn't happen.
Yeah, and just always look at the luck of the draw for Kent Wood. It's like, the thing is playing somebody and then Muskegon beat them like three times.
Right.
So when you look at the things of, put that in perspective for another coach playing against you, he literally looks at it on the calendar and like, I really got to get this win. So all the other games were like by like five or less points.
Mm-hmm. They're all tight games, yeah.
Yeah, they was all barn burners. So he had an opportunity to get him a win, is Kent Wood. And then you as a coach, you've been there the last three, 4 years. And you, I know you're telling your kids, like, look, they're going to be ready.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to come show up. But your kids look like, oh, we beat them already.
We beat them already.
I done had it dealing with players.
The psyche of a 16, 15-year-old.
Yes.
It's just hard to unmask.
Yep.
And let them know, man.
Yep. So I understand.
Any given day.
Yep, because it almost happened to the girls program. They're in the playoffs right now when they played Kent City.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, and Kent City got up like 19-4 on them.
Wasn't that incredible?
Yeah, and it was during the regular season. And they had enough time to grab their mentality back. Because last year they beat them by 50, but we were telling them, like, look, that's because you beat them by 50 last year. They lost. They won a regional final. They lost in the quarters. They were an excellent team.
They went deep. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know Coach Guy relayed that message. And just like you said, he has an excellent program. He has about seven juniors on that staff.
Yep.
Great coaching staff. Undefeated JV team moves up. So, as I say, I always tell Muskegon, I tell people about Muskegon, it's next man up.
That's it.
That's
man.
How they do it. So
that's it. So, JV went undefeated.
Yes, right.
In football and basketball this year. So, that's a great feat and tells you that, you know, we got good things to look forward to in the future.
That's right. So, it's just got to keep on building. And the kids got to be willing to take part into the whole ownership of the whole program. That's what they have to do. The defensive side of the ball, the workouts, everything, and then nothing but doors are open for them. So,
yeah, because next season starts today.
Yes, they do.
You need to get in the gym, get working on your craft.
Yep.
So, yeah, next season starts today. So, but our girls are still playing.
Yeah, they're still playing.
And they had a heck of a game the other night, Grand Haven, which, you know, everybody thought that should have been a district final.
That's
versus
right.
An opening round game, but because of the draw, like you said, we had to play them first game.
Yep.
Whereas teams with losing records get a bye.
That's right. Two teams with losing records got a bye.
Yeah.
Kennewick Hills and Union.
And Union. That just don't make sense, man.
Yeah. Just get them a little way to be in the playoffs a little longer. That's all.
Evidently. Yeah, because you should be rewarded by seeding, you know, like they do in the NCAA tournament, you know.
That's right.
Pro football, pro basketball. A lot of times that conference championship means that you get a bye the first round. But
yep. Right.
For whatever reason, that's the system that we have, and that's the system that we have to play with.
Something I want to say about Grand Haven, I know before Coach Walker took the helm at the Lady Reds, I think it was like 16 times Grand Haven beat Muskegon.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, 16 times. Because that's when they was in the conference.
Right, when they Red.
Yep. And then when the playoffs came. So that's 16 times. Coach Walker, I think he lost to her one time. Out of the last four times they played, one time. So it would have been five. But they ran this year.
Okay.
They avoided playing them. So, man, he done.
What, 2 years removed, they won a state championship in girls basketball.
That's right. So, and what I've looked into is every time the press comes out, they always talk about how Grand Haven coach is a good coach. But they never put that equation in place.
that there's a new sheriff in town.
That's right. And he's a big red. Okay. he changed the paradigm. And the coaches before him were great.
Yeah.
But then when you have this nemesis that you can't, it's hard for your kids to get over, because Grand Haven, they start their kids out early. I want to give her kudos. She does. She starts her program off early.
Good feeder program.
Yep. And the kids, they're not transit like some of our kids. They move off because we have different issues to deal with.
Yep.
So they financially secure, two parent families.
The system.
The money's there. All that is there. So you got to look at that and what Coach Walker put in place, and saying even though they ran this year, they didn't want to reschedule the game. So I count that as a victory too.
Okay.
Because if you lose, you beat them in the playoffs, you might get another one. So that's four out of five times. And that's four victories straight in a row. I mean, that's three victories straight in a row, because he beat them the first time when Drico was here. Then they lost, I think, the next year. Then so the next four victories he got.
Okay. So he's the reigning champ as it stands right now.
Yep. And then I remember, but it was an article written because the papers had Grand Haven girls ranked number one of them, Muskegon girls, and had us number two all during the season. But then I looked at the scheduling. You know, that's how Keith Guy do it. Keith Guy can give you the best schedule. Coach, he can give you the best schedule. Because he want to be like, you want your kids battle tested? That's what you do here. So he helped Coach Walker put the best schedule in place. And they played some tough games. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's kudos to Coach Guy for that. But then nobody don't care about the ranking.
No.
I think Grand Haven was worried about the ranking. So they didn't want to play our girls. So then an article came out with Grand Haven's coach saying, yeah, we only got to worry about Liza Winston. We know how to guard her.
Oh.
We don't have to really worry about nobody else. In so many words, that's what she said.
Okay.
So I was like, wow. So the game come around. They have a game playing for Liza Winston.
Mm-hmm.
But they forgot a four-year player by the name of Dynasty Dial.
Okay.
That's got almost a double-double. They hit about 3 3-pointers. That played great defense. Then they forgot about a 5'1" microscopic bulldog.
Yes,
and Breonna Alexander.
Okay.
That put up 21 and shut down their best player that's supposed to be a all-state candidate in A-League, number four from Grand Haven. So I'm like, she put up 21, and I think the other girl had 7.
Okay.
That averages 20.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just showing you that, like Muskegon.
It's team basketball.
Team basketball.
Yeah. When somebody don't have a great night, somebody steps in.
That's right.
Pick up the slack, and normally you're going to come up with a win.
Yeah, so that's just something I just wanted to say, and just,
hats off to
I had to, because they put in a lot of work, and I've been watching it because, you know, my situation, I've just been like, wow, they're pretty good, you know, and they are good.
Yeah, that's great, man.
And so, that just goes out to the athletic department, the coaches of the program, because without the athletic department and scheduling and giving them those girls the opportunity, the girls program wouldn't be where it's at. So,
now we're all behind that girls basketball, man.
Yep.
On the wagon.
Yep. So that's where it's at. And we got the March Madness coming. We got Michigan State Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Sunday.
And Purdue lost.
Saturday.
Yep. Saturday, I think.
It's Saturday evening, yep. I believe it is.
Yeah. And Purdue lost.
Oh, really?
To Minnesota.
Oh, wow. The Big Ten is in turmoil, man.
Yeah.
Who wants to win the Big Ten, right?
Who wants to win? So right now it's like three-way tie. Everybody got four losses.
Yeah.
So, I think we beat somebody last night, Nebraska. So, now the Big Ten's looking pretty good, and this game is bigger than the first game.
Yes, it is. Yeah, because this will be the Big Ten championship game for the most part. And then you get to the Big Ten tournament, and then you go into the real tournament. So, a lot of basketball yet
remains
to be played in the month of March.
Yep, and Nick Ward's back, so he's back.
Oh, that's
playing.
Good.
Yep, so the big man's back. So, I know Langford's never coming back because he's hurt. He's out indefinitely. He got to take a year to heal that up. So, but it's going to be amazing, man.
It's going to be fun, man.
I can't wait to see what happens.
Enjoy it. So, before we move on, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the L.A. Lakers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
you know, question is now, do they shut him down, man? Do they shut Bron down? His whole career, he's never had this dilemma, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
Because he's always been ready for the playoffs. He's always been in the playoffs regardless of where he's been. But now, this is the first season where he may not be playing – basketball in April. So, what do you think?
Man, what I think, would that tarnish his legacy, Tony?
I don't think so.
You don't think
personally?
So? Because, you know, a lot of people saying, like, oh, Michael Jordan never missed a playoff in his prime.
No, he didn't. even when he was sick.
He did. When he missed them games and he hit them 63 points against the Boston Celtics and he played the last 19 games of the season when he played against the Boston Celtics. That was a heavy championship favorite during that year. And he hit 63 points on them. I think they didn't win a game, but
right.
But he hit 63 points in the playoffs and went home after he had a broke leg. He played and he had those 19 games. So, man, I don't know. I didn't say it didn't affect his legacy. But he's going into a new paradigm of a new whole general management, a new team.
Oh yeah.
And it's gonna affect him in some way. But then if he comes back and he wins the championship, it's gonna be forgotten. But then in the barbershops of America, they're like, oh, what about that 1 year when he didn't make the playoffs?
Right. Missed 18 games.
Yeah. He missed a third of the season. Yeah. So when he missed a third of the season, I think that if he didn't miss a third of the season right now, I think the Lakers would be number six.
Yeah, I agree.
That'll be the sixth seed right now if he didn't.
Yep, I agree 100%. So, but it is what it is.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do.
So going forward with LeBron.
Yep, moving forward.
We got I know you said you had some stuff with the car loans.
Yeah, you know, almost a year, maybe a year, 2 years ago, we talked about auto loans.
Okay.
And the increase of loans that we see just in our local market, we knew that there was a subprime element lurking, sort of similar to the housing subprime. And today I got an article which basically speaks to that. And it says that, you know, we're at a level that we had seen since the last recession. So what we talked about has come to fruition. It is true that a lot of predatory lenders have gotten a lot of loans that people are now delinquent on.
There it is. Now, I'm going to tell you what kind of loans they are. There's those loans that they tell you that, oh, we're going to get your credit fixed or to do this. Or like you're trying to buy a high-end vehicle and they want you to get into the vehicle. So they offer you a 72-month loan term. Okay. And I actually had one of those. But the way I looked at it, Tony, was I said, okay, I want this high-end vehicle. I like it. They say it's a good vehicle to last a long time. I'm still driving my truck to this day, and I haven't did nothing to it but brakes and regular maintenance. So I'm getting a ride out of it. But what I say, 7 years to get a lower payment? Nope. I got the loan, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay $100 extra every month after I pay my regular payment.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get an income tax or a bonus check from my business or something, if I can afford to put another $1,000 here or there, I am.
Right.
So when that happened, Tony, I was done in 46 months.
Okay. That's how you do it.
Yeah, so it took me 4 years. So I've been done since 2015 with the vehicle. It's 2019, about to go 2020.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been had title to the vehicle for 48 months. They didn't keep me in seven years. So a lot of times, the way a lot of people think, Tony, I think, looking at the article you have, they think, like, as long as I can make the payment every month and my bills are paid, that's good.
Regardless of the length of the loan.
Yeah, that's not the way that you're supposed to think, audience. Because the eighth wonder of the world that I've learned, Tony, is compound interest.
That's it. Okay, man. If you get that, you'll be a successful person, trust me.
Because compound interest can work for you in two ways. One of them, it can work for you with investments. One of them, it can work against you with payments.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, oh, my payment is only this, and it's this loan. Imagine going over a term of 7 years and paying that 7 years off and the vehicle being done and paid off. But if you could have shortened it by 48 months and that same payment could go into an IRA.
Oh, yeah.
Get you some life insurance. Get you some investment property. Get you a mutual fund. Get you something where you say, wow, this money been going there for another 48 months and something else. And you can look and say, I got so many thousands of dollars put somewhere that I didn't even need. But yeah, it could have been on the car payment.
Yeah, because, you know, we've already talked about the actual price of the car could have been 20 grand, but when you factor in the amount of interest that you paid over this 72-month period, you could have easily paid in 60, 65 grand for that same vehicle because the amount of interest that you paid on it. And one of the comments in this article said that there are 7 million Americans with these loans that are 90 days plus past due. 7 million, man. That's a lot of people.
I'm going to share this with people. Like, I've been in a terrible situation like that, right? I faced job layoff. I faced that. I faced all the problems you probably faced, garnishment, all that things. That's why the name of the show is What Do I Do Now? Because I was the What Do I Do Now? And now I know how to do it. I'm going to tell you something, everybody. Just like it's an MLS for houses, Tony.
Okay.
It's an MLS out there for your car.
Oh, yes, it is.
And I'm going to tell you how it goes, audience. And so when you look at your VIN on your dash, it's done on your dash for a reason. It ain't, like, a lot of times it's on the motor. It's on the seal with the door.
They call it etching. Yeah. Yep.
So it's in there. So when your car parks somewhere and somebody printed, any tow person, anybody that own a tow company, anybody, they get this, they print this MLS list up and they check the addresses. And when you see those tow trucks riding around, they're going to ride around a lot probably in a couple months, because some people probably bought cars with income tax returns. They couldn't afford them.
Right.
Right.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Put a big down payment down.
I know it. I've seen it.
Yep. So what they're going to do is they're going to get this big list. You're going to start seeing these tow trucks riding around Muskegon or wherever you live in. And as they ride around, Tony, they looking for that VIN and that license plate.
Yep.
So if you 90 days behind, like you're saying, they coming.
They coming to get it.
My advice to you is to beat them to the punchline and call them.
Call the creditor.
And there's two things you could do. One thing, you could just get a car back and just get a repo. That'd be
good. Or your credit report, yeah.
Your credit report, and you can fight that. The other thing is you can call before you can't pay, because you might bit off more than you could chew, or you might have had a job loss situation like I did, and say, can you ghost the payment for me 1 month or skip a payment for me and put it towards the end of my interest? That'll buy you a month.
Yep.
That'll buy you 30 days. Now, that's free information I just gave to the audience.
Yeah, and, you know, you could even possibly talk about restructuring that loan, too.
Yep, you could do that, too. You could stretch it.
They don't really want the vehicle, all right? They don't want the vehicle. They want your money.
They want that promissory note, that clear with that bank.
Yeah, they want your money.
That's that piece of paper, because the dealership don't want it no more.
No.
The dealership already made their thousands off of it. So you take it back to them, they're going to look at you like, hey, you giving us a free car?
Okay.
we already got the money on this. We can't accept it. That's why they look at you crazy.
Paid us already.
So what they do is they look and say, oh, we can resell this car. So they call the bank up and say, this person brought this car back. Then they say, well, they owe us this much on it. They sell it. They get a bank some, and then they get somebody else some. I seen somebody do a voluntary repo when I was helping them fight on their credit report, Tony. They had the car. I think they owe like $9,000 left, right?
Okay.
The car was immaculate. The dealership sold the car for $19,000.
Whoa. So that cleared up their debt then.
The bank and everything. And the person, we was fighting it. And as we was fighting it, the bank couldn't find a check that cleared. So they tried to call my client back. So we eventually found a check and we submitted it. So the credit union got it. So the credit union eventually had to prove that the bank, the dealership sold the car. Because the dealership resold the car and they submitted a check to the person after they sold the car.
Oh, gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
And they was able to prove that. So that person got off the hook for that vehicle. But that was a lucky situation in that situation.
Yeah, that's unique.
That's
unique. That doesn't happen often.
That person took the car back and they said, what? And they ended up owing like, I think they held $9,000 to $7,000. They sold the car for $19,000.
That's incredible, man.
They made a $10,000 profit and gave the person a check. And the person checked the check to the actual credit union that he got the loan from. But the person that gave him the loan, whoever the underwriting people for the loan, they didn't have a check. So they had to go through the process of the bank to find it. But he had it cleared and he showed he had a printout and he gave it to me. And we disputed the item off his credit report, but it showed it was paid.
Right.
But I'm saying, whoever he was working with, the dealer, the dealership, I get them two hand snaps and a rating of five. They sold the car, then they resold the car and helped him
at a profit.
At a
profit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, that don't happen often, though. But those are some of the things. If you're one of these 7 million Americans with these auto loans that are delinquent 90 days, it won't get any better by ignoring the creditor. You got to call them because, like you said, Chauncey, they will come and repo the car.
That's right. And it's nothing like having good credit, audience. I mean, to go from a 500 to a 700 and just your self-esteem is good. When you know all your debts and the people you owe, they good, you feel good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if you're going through a rough patch in your life. If you know, like, I got these people understand my situation. They working with me. They ain't taxing my credit report. I got them. So that's just the way it is.
Yeah, we're still in tax time.
Yes, we are. We're still in tax time, Tony.
Yeah, we're in tax time. So what we got? What do we got
still
today?
Here. I wanted to, before I go into other details, I wanted to share with them how will your taxes change in 2019. Some people haven't filed yet, like myself.
Neither have I.
I filed for our nonprofit. That was easy because I had everything come out of one account and I used one credit card. So that's done. But then for my own personal and my own personal business, I have not, because I'm looking at, should I itemize or do the standard deduction?
Well, like the new tax law is going to tell you whether or not you can do that, right? Because it's changed.
Yes, it changed. So what I have is, it has it broken down from middle class couple, middle class family, high income family, itemizer like myself, high tax state, and freelancer, another type of person that would itemize. So looking at the married class couple, married, no kids, income $70,000. Under former tax law, they could do $16,590. All right. Under Tax Cuts and Tax Jobs Act, $15,407. The tax decrease goes down $1,000.
Oh, okay.
They claim. So they lose $1,000, $1,183. Now, the key factors is increased standard deduction. All right. But then it says it, which rose to $24,000 from $13,000 for couples, which helps this couple save in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a difference. That's a big discrepancy. But you got to fit the income bracket for $70,000.
Okay.
As married. So I'm like, 72 people married with no kids, though, at $70,000. That's kind of a hard equation to get.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, $35,000 a piece per year.
Yeah. But with no kids.
No kids. No dependents.
You won't find a lot of people in that income bracket.
No, you won't.
Like, we're not even in that. Me and my wife, we married, no kids, but then we have a business. We're not even in that.
Mm-mm.
I don't even fit that.
Nope. Not after
so the, I want to even get the tax. I wish I could. Man, $24,000 sounds good. That'll lower us substantially. So then the next one is married class family, right?
Okay.
Married, two kids, one child age 13, one child age 10. And I also noticed something. They changed the way you can claim the kids in college.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. What happened?
Like, I think it got cut off at 16.
Oh, well, you don't get to claim them in college then.
Yeah. Like I was talking to somebody the other day, and I read it. It was like 16 years old. I was like,
hold up.
I have it in here, too. We got it.
You're still in high school, man.
It's like 16 or 17. When they done, I was like, hold on. What's that? Like, you can't claim your kids no more?
Oh, no. They got to be at least 18.
Man, I think graduate. I seen 17, Tony. I was just like, somebody called me and correct me on it. But I was like.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, that's crazy. They making sure somebody not getting nothing. So that's $80,000, right? So they upped that $10,000, but you got two kids now. So under tax, former tax law, it said $14,128. But then the tax decreased by $2,240. In addition, the increased standard deduction, this couple also benefits from the child tax credit, which doubled to $2,000 per child. But then they lower the age. So even if you say it's 18, I had a friend. His daddy didn't own a business. They claimed him till he got his sheepskin.
Yeah, a lot of times, as long as they're in school, you can continue to claim them on your taxes, man, because you're providing part of their living expenses.
That's right,
man. Yeah, we're gonna make sure that's right, man, because that's huge.
Yep,
so 16. Yes.
So here it goes. Look, it says high income family, right? Married, two kids, one child, age 17. One child in college. All right, let's see what this happens. All right. $150,000, the income for this married couple. $38,187. Under Tax Cuts and Tax Jobs, $38,066. Tax decreased by $121. Well, that's. These children are too old for their parents to do the benefit from the new $2,000 child tax credit.
Oh, tax credit. Okay.
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
Okay,
right?
Tax credit. Okay.
But
all
still,
right.
Still, that's substantial.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a lot of big checks roll out under
that. Yeah, because of that.
The child tax credit law. Yeah. Okay.
But that's what it changed to.
Different than dependent. Okay.
Yep. But they are still able to claim a separate $500 credit for the other dependent.
That must be the younger one.
17, like I said.
Okay.
So the one that's in college, you can't.
No. Wow, you only get a $500 credit for the 16-year-old.
For the one person.
So this is the new tax law.
That money gone.
That was supposed to help middle-class America
pay
less taxes.
That's gone. Now you see what I'm talking about, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I was so mad when I saw it. I'm like, wow, a lot of families depend on that extra $5,000 if they had two or three kids.
Man, See, that was that fine print that nobody talked about. But I knew
that the scam was up.
You wouldn't really realize what the implications were until you did your taxes to find out, really, is this truly tax reform benefiting middle-class America? And at this point, I would have to say no.
Man, Tony, that's sad. I know some families mad. Because I had a client that I was actually helping. Because we was talking about her student loan debt. And she's married. And I was like, well, we could do it two ways, right? I said, we could do it a way where you could, if you can file separately from your husband, that would help you, that lower your income. Or just turn in your actual income statement to us. Let me see your last paycheck.
Right? Oh, okay.
So I tried to do that. So we waiting on to do that right now. And he said, what about my kids? He said, my accountant say I can't claim my 17-year-old, 18-year-old or something no more. She in college. I was like, you can, but you can't. She was like, what do you mean? That's like an oxymoron. And I told her about the tax credit.
Okay.
She was like, that's what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. She said, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
She said, that girl can move out my house now. I ain't going to take care of it. I was like, no, she didn't do that to her daughter. But she was like, man, what's the point of her being with us?
Right.
She get her own.
She got to take care of it.
She claim her own. She get claim her own tax from her job. Get her own income tax check back. That's how the parent was. And I was just like, wow, that's.
Yeah, this is just part of this learning process with this tax reform. So, you know, next year you definitely got to do things differently when it comes to preparing for your taxes. It's unfortunate that we didn't see a lot of this coming.
Have foresight. I know we went over it and we mentioned some of the things, but it sound good.
Yeah, but we also mentioned that it's, you know, yet to be proven as to whether or not it's going to be beneficial or not.
Yes.
And as we can see, it's not, because if you remember, business taxes took effect immediately.
Oh, they got that paid.
Like 35% reduction.
Man, we talking about people got some bonuses. Okay. That was ridiculous.
And business taxes, which was huge. But we as Americans, taxpayers, we can't do anything until we file our taxes in order to determine whether or not it's a benefit.
You're right, sir. So the next one says, this is an itemizer. This is me. So I always claim single on mine. You know, I file single. But I can do that.
Okay.
So it says high tax state, right? Single, $100,000 income, right? So they're like, John, you're making $100,000. Well, I said showing $100,000. You ain't say you got to actually.
That's not take home.
I ain't taking home. That's not take home.
No, that's all after expenses.
So don't go out in the community like, he doing this. No, I'm not. I'm just smart enough to do some business stuff to do it the right way. So it says taxes under former law, $30,166. They usually come out like that for me every year.
Okay.
And it says under tax cuts and tax jobs, $30,470, right? Tax decreased by $304. We assume $16,000 in federal and state taxes, not usual for high tax states. The new $10,000 cap on state and capital deductions, tax deductions, means this taxpayer will see a tax increase. So I'm going to see a tax increase.
Yep.
So I'm going to tell you what my plan already, my health savings account, I've already put, because I got in an accident, I put $5,550 in that account.
In that account.
I did that. So I covered that, and then I was thinking about starting another IRA before the deadline. So that's going to give me a benefit somewhere. And then
$5,000 basically, yep, what you can put into that.
And that's what I almost spent that this fiscal year for stuff that was not covered by my medical insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it's a situation where hopefully I can balance that out. But audience, that's how you got to live your life. That's like that. You got to be looking like, this happened to me. How does this benefit me towards my taxes?
Yeah, your strategy has to change. It can't be the same as it was before because the tax laws have changed.
Yes, sir.
So you won't be getting the large returns that you were, or the break-even point even.
Yeah, I had the break-even
that you were
point.
Getting.
Yep. And I was getting a lot of good tax credits to help me on lowering my student loan interest and other things that I was doing and help me with my investment. So that was going in the right direction. But now it's time to move towards property now. That's got to
be. Yeah, tax
gotta,
sheltering.
Yep.
You know, you got to look at ways to shelter money. So it's not taxed, so you don't have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's exempt from taxes, basically.
So here's the next person, the freelancer. We're talking about the freelance writer, the person that works as a contractor.
Yeah, self-employed.
Yep, $50,000. So this is another paradigm that somebody that can work up under. That's the hustler that got a 1099. That's that type person, okay? And it says, under the tax law, former tax law, $11,916. So the neighborhood barber, that guy, $10,154. Tax decreases by $1,762. As a freelancer, this tax benefits from both the increased standard deduction and the 20% deduction for pass-through income. So, you know, a lot of freelancers, they don't show everything they make.
It's cash business.
Yep.
99% of it is a cash business.
You got the bounty hunters. You got
the hairdressers.
Hairdressers, barbers.
Got a lawn service.
Lawn service.
And, you know, painter. Got to do his painting. You know, versus guys that go out and actually subcontractors with larger organizations where they're going to make, you know, they're basically going to cut you a check.
Yeah.
Because it's a paper trail now. That's the it. Difference.
That's it.
Cash payments are, you know, really no paper trail. So that's the difference in the freelancing or the self-employed in those cash businesses.
Yep. So I got scripture today. Good for nothing, trust God with the least. I've been sharing this with some of my people, my clients, and just working with them. I'll have some success stories pretty soon. Got something to share, but I'm going to share the scripture today. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2, and it says, invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. That's the NIV version, but the NLT version says, but divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk might lay ahead. Here you go. When taxes come.
So you need to be ready.
Yeah. You need to be ready. Are you standard? Are you an itemizer? That's how I'm filing. I'm trying to figure out who's going to give me the best benefits, pay the less. My thing is, I'm not looking like get a refund, Chauncey. I'm looking like lower the tax blow that I'm going to take.
Yep. Cheating. Not talking about cheating on your taxes.
Nope.
We're just talking about what's the best strategy for you to use to minimize the impact of the federal tax system.
Yep, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.